beautiful to worship God. And keep your hearts there on worshiping God and focus and no distractions, nothing to elevate itself above worshiping God. I just came back from Israel with my wife, and maybe just three things I'll say. One is their esteeming of the word of God. I saw in the going up to Jerusalem, you read Psalm 120 and to 134, the ascending Psalms. I saw a father in a bus next to our bus reading the ascending Psalms as they ascended up into Jerusalem, and they esteemed the word of God like that. And I couldn't believe it. The way they honor the word of God. It's why we have the word of God today. The Essenes hiding in caves. When they said the word of God, they would dip themselves in a pool. They weren't worthy to even say the name of God. And that's not religious when you know the Spirit of God. It's like holy. And then it's a word of God. The anointing. I guess the application of the Jewish tradition produces an amazing anointing of, and the law is so perfect. You just see how perfect the law is. It represents the holiness of God, the nature of God. It's so beautifully anointed, and you saw, and then in the Sabbath, we did the Shabbat on Friday night, and Ramona said the prayer, and it's just like the glory of God came in. She lit the candles. Pastor Lance said the prayer, and then it was a broken time. And then we sang a song, and it was so joyous. And there, you know, the Jewish people next to us were on their tables with their families, and we broke the bread and we put the salt on it, you know, if you ask a Jew what is the most holy day, they will say the Sabbath. They won't say the feast or anything like that. They'll say the Sabbath, because that's what they're honoring continually throughout the week. I just saw that that's where we are today. This is the most holy day. It's not like, you know, Christmas Day, and then, you know, we reduce that down to our lives and the moments of our lives. It's not, there's no holy day. It's like a Sabbath. The Sabbath is so important in our own lives. I felt like this. I felt this, like, love for my wife and my family. And then I asked Ramona, and she said, yes, the wife is supposed to sit, and like it's the bride. And she's supposed to rest. It's supposed to be this celebration. It's not this burden to rest and to come to the house of God. And she said, they wear their best clothes. You know, like even we get away, it was like, No, your best. You're honoring God with everything that you have. You know, we think about we honoring God. We're just honoring God the way we brush our teeth on the Sabbath, or just I'm serious. It's like you're taking God like that. You know, it's unbelievable what we can learn from the Jewish traditions. And then, you know, you learn the geography. That's all I'll say. It's just, and we're going, and or the church is going to have a trip in a year from now. So, you can't say like what it means to us, and the way we worship God over there wasn't with, it was just simple little stringed instruments, just like, and God was not one instrument was exalted. I was thinking that, like, in worship, It's like not one instrument was exalted. It was like the word of God in worship. It's like purity. It was like the foundation of worship. So that's what I'll say about Israel. And our God is alive, and there's not just a historical cross. There's a sanctification cross right now in our lives. Amen.
All right, would you stand, please? And go to someone you haven't spoken to before or in a while and just say, God bless you.
Who haven't I seen for a while? Probably.
We've both been up here all morning.
Okay, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah, you may be seated to the book of Isaiah. Actually, one portion before we go there is in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, praise God, wow. Praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Wow. Isaiah, John 1. Have you ever wondered about this kind of packaging in any way? This is a potato chip bag. Have you ever wondered about it? Let me show you one thing. Is this strong? It is, isn't it? It's really tough. Like, I do not know how much power and pressure to rip this like this, right? Right? Isn't it amazing? Like, how strong that is? Huh? Isn't it? Now, the paradox is, if you take it the right way, right? How do you do this? See that? See how strong it is? But you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. Because you've opened many packages. Huh? If you know, right? If you know, it's very easy. If you don't know, it's like very tough, right? And so what do you do? Okay, how much? How strong is it? Not very strong. Wait a minute. It's very strong, isn't it? It's extremely strong. Amazing. But, okay, so aren't you glad you came to church today? Huh? You know, this is a short message, this one, but it's a part of our message. Because I really feel that this is so much about life. There are people that just have a very hard time. And they just say, you know, it's impossible or so hard. They go, just try it. Just go ahead. How hard it is. How, you know, my life is so hard. And then somehow, you know what I mean, right? I don't know. I don't find it that hard. You know what I mean? Is it? I find it both. Like, I find that there are problems that people have in life and in our country. There's a number of things we could speak about in our country that are so hard and so tough. And in a family, I want to say something about domestic violence in our message this morning. In our family, how hard it might be in a marriage or with your kids. And this is how people think and what they experience. And I understand, I identify. On the other hand, have they found Jesus Christ? Have they found the reality of Christ? It's actually easy. Really, the same thing. It's the same, I got the same problems or the same life that everybody else has and you have, and yet at the same time, it's somehow very possible that my impossible problem could be solved, or that there'd be a different way, different take on it, or a different approach. And God says, trust in me with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. I kind of like think of it this way, you know. The world leaning on its own understanding, and it's like just, you know, tough, you know. So that's our, you know, think about that. And turn to John chapter 1, please. In the beginning was the Word, verse 1. Do you think that the Word of God would have a tough time in living this life? Do you think the Word of God that made the universe would have a hard time living here and being here? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. There's a good word. And truth. Look at our potato chip bag. I asked Pastor Phil, go into the cafe and get a bag of potato chips, empty the bag, and bring the bag in here. He's looking at me. Okay. Okay, wait a minute. Do you know, the bag is tough when it comes to us and the law and rules and regulations and people and disappointments and anger and frustration and boredom. Wow. But Jesus came and he was called two things, grace and truth. And if you could think of like truth handling this and saying, I can do it. I can do it. It's not as hard as you think. You cannot do it. I can do it. grace, and truth. We must learn grace because it's not in our nature. Justices and judgment and morality and penalties and rules and regulations. Hatred, revenge, frustration, as I said, boredom. And then we just say, what's going on? What's the problem? Or how can this work? And God sent, God came, and God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the answer. I am a new way. You don't have that way. You don't have it. You can't find it. You must receive me. Look at verse 12 of the same chapter. But as many as received him, we say, as it said, it says in the scripture many times, believe him. Here we have received him. At the end of our service, we have a call to people that come and visit in us and on the internet, and we say, receive Christ. To as many as received him, to them gave he power, legal power. But watch this. This is a different kind of power, isn't it? It's like we could call a wisdom to take a little tear there, and just then it's so easy to open it up. Like, it's not a matter of strength. It's a matter of wisdom. It's not a matter of justice. It's more. It's a matter of grace. It's not a matter of my personality, my skill, my talents. It's a matter of God coming to as many as received him. He is welcomed. Because human beings, God has granted them the option of living without him. And as a result, they suffer. And we suffer too because of the problems that are produced by mankind. And we cause them too. But this is new. Now go to Isaiah, please, 59. One of our sisters passed to be with the Lord this past week, and she was an exceptional believer, Pastor Ray Kosiolek's wife, Brenda. And we were in Pennsylvania yesterday at the service for her, and maybe 350 people came. And the woman was highly honored by people that from her workplace and, of course, the church, Carlisle, York, here, Baltimore. And it was an amazing, amazing day. Amazing. And Pastor Ray and his wife were very close. They wore the same sweaters, even. They did matching. They were together all the time. They loved, they served the God. They served the body like huge, like 100% for years, and 37 years. And even they had the same cars, the matching cars, they even. She was so much a servant, and young people sang her praises, and it was a beautiful day of honor. And one of the things that we said was that she was an honorable woman because she was honored. And honor is honor comes from somebody higher than you, like somebody important. A government honors you, a foundation, an important person. You get honored at a university, you get honored by president, you get honored with money, you get honored by the higher authority. And when that honor comes on you, you are respected and honored. And she was honorable because she was honored by God. God honored her. God honored this woman. And there was a little video clip of her teaching here in the Women's Seminar 2013. It's a beautiful few minutes. I think maybe we could play it tonight. And just share in this woman's life. And when you are honored by God, you could say maybe like it's easy. When you are honored by God, you can. It's possible. It's not. People say, You cannot imagine. We say, we understand. We know how tough that can be. We know. Absolutely. But if you could listen and hear what God has to say to you and trust Him, He will honor you. And Jesus said to the Jewish people, you seek the honor that comes from men, and not the honor that comes from God. And you can't do both. If you seek the honor from men, you will not be seeking the honor from God. You know? It's like opening this. You can't do both, you know? You can't get it open this way. If you seek the honor from men, you don't have the honor that comes from God, right? So that's one. You know, that Brenda was such a sweetheart. She was such a woman of God, and her husband, amazing, amazing people. Okay, so I wanted to say that. That's the second part. Or is that the one, two, third part? This is the last part, chapter 59, verse 9. I'm really heading to verse 14 and 15, but we could start at 9, but we're going to emphasize 14 and 15, speak on those two verses. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. Now, okay, I'd love to just want you to, I don't know if you understand, is it up there? There it is, okay. Therefore is judgment far from us. Maybe we'll draw a picture here. I want to use your imagination for a man. Here's a man in a house with a woman, and maybe there's a, let's put a little family here, and they have relationships in the home, and it's private. It's in a house. It's in a room. Now, this room can be bigger. This room can be a church room. Could be Hopkins Hospital. Then the room could be bigger. It could be the city of Baltimore. the state of Maryland. It could be bigger. It could be the room, could be the United States of America. So let's draw the room. It goes like this. Here's the room. And there's control, manipulation, fear, kindness, love, joy, happiness, and then there is also abuse. There is emotion, anger. The man can be violent. The man could throw things at God. The man is controlling the environment and using fear in the house. And God is saying, where is the judgment? Where is the judgment? Where is the correction? But it's not there in the room. Because the man has a control over the room. And so the family lives in this atmosphere. So read verse 9. There is judgment. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. Can you imagine where I'm in a prison and it's not fair? I'm in the prison and I'm waiting for light, but there's obscurity. How horrible that is. Look at verse 10. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Could a whole society be like this? Could a communist country be like this? The people are groping for the wall, trying to find their way, but they find this, really. They find a tough, hard life. And there isn't any judgment, any deliverance. There isn't any salvation or change. Look at verse 11. We roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. Verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, and our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Again, we could maybe explain that a little more, but let's go to verse 13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, departing away from our God. Wow. Like lying against the Lord. How about like a university professor boasting? I read this piece where this professor is boasting. He's looking for the new kids that come into the university classroom, and he targets the Christians to mock them and lead them away from the faith. And he's able to do it because he's smart enough and capable enough, and they are weak enough to come under this influence. So look at the verse again. It says verse 13, transgressing and lying against the Lord, departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. There are many things. I have a piece here. Harmless as all this sounds, the endless, objectiveless pursuit of pleasure inevitably ends in despair. to be governed by nothing more than the free exercise of one's passions can be the most terrifying repression of all. Like the young woman profiled some years ago in Psychology Today, who told her psychiatrist that she was exhausted by her lifestyle, an endless round of parties, drugs, sex, and alcohol. "Why don't you stop?" the psychologist said. She sat up abruptly. "You mean I don't have to do what I want to do? I don't have to do what I want to do." Yeah. Like, has anybody told you that this is wrong? You may want to do it, but you've been told this is wrong. Look at, now comes the 14 and 15. Judgment is turned away backward. Let's draw judgment here next to the house. Here's judgment. He's turned away backward. Verse 14. Justice stands afar off. Let's put justice here. Far away. Truth has fallen in the street. Let's put truth here. Arms out like that. Where's truth? Fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. Here's the door to the house. Equity cannot get in. All right. Truth faileth, verse 15. And he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. Watch. I get out of the house. I come out of the house and I'm targeted. What's going on in this picture? Do you see it? The lie goes on. The abuse in the house. The man in charge in his emotion and his opinion and his control of the situation goes on. And somebody is in their heart, like in their heart, they're saying, anybody notice? Anybody come? Can somebody come in and help me? And is there any way? Do you know who was in the middle of this house? Who was a victim of this? Guess who? Guess who was in this house surrounded by people that were targeting him? But he was not a bad. He was not bad. But he was God that came into this world. And we could say Jesus came into this same world, and what happened? There was nobody there to save him. Nobody was on his side. I mean, ultimately, they all forsook him. They all were afraid. They all said, you know, if we're going to become targets, you know. This is a bad man. I don't want to confuse you, but there's a bad man here who's in charge. And Jesus comes into the bad man's territory and says, hello, I am here. And I am the answer. And people are like the little ones in the house, like, oh, really? I'm so happy you are here. You don't know how bad it is here. You don't know how terrible it is to live in this house. You don't know what it's like to be a victim of this kind of control and violence. They say in domestic violence that people that have that problem stay away from people. They stay away, like they wouldn't come to a church. Maybe there is someone here who has that problem. We hope to help you. God, say a person in this situation. This guy who's doing this needs help. He's destroying himself and he's destroying his family. Yeah. And there, as I say, there's different dimensions. But let's just stay on the family thing for the simple visual and the way to, because it's too confusing, I think. I just want to say, God is saying to Israel, he's saying to Israel, look up at the screen, can you see it? Yeah. Where are you? What are you doing falling in the street? Why can't you enter? If you leave and you're afraid you're going to be a target, why are you far away? Why can't you show up? A woman is getting battered in home. A child is being sexually abused. A man is lying at his in his office and taking advantage. And he's oppressive, and people are groping for the wall. And what are you going to do? How is it going to work? And we would say, this is really tough, you know. Life is tough, and this is tough. But we have to look at it differently. And we have to say, wait a minute. God is angry with this kind of situation. And he's saying truth has to enter in. And when Jesus came into the house, he would say to the man, in principle, you are an angry man, you are a frustrated man, you are an empty man, you are a man looking, you need to find me. If you find me, and you have to deal with this on a very fundamental level. When you start to get, when it begins to build, you need to confess it to me and trust in me. Because look at a picture. It is actually easy. It's actually easy. I can handle you. I can change you. I can save you. I can change your life. It's actually easy. But you have to hear me, receive me, and you receive power. And I can change your life and the people around you. And if the man, it takes us really hard, because if you are a man without God, like a churlish man, like that the man, Abigail's husband in the scripture, if you're a man without God, it's very hard to be so humble and say, I am wrong, I am the problem, I need God, I want Christ in my life. But if you can, and then learn how to believe it in the small little packaging periods of time, and say, I need God, God can help me, God can change my life, then it's Jesus said, I am the, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you'll be really free. You end up loving the people in your home, and you don't have to control them. You don't seek pleasure. There are these people that are struggling in these areas and causing a lot of trouble in their own lives and in the lives of the people they are with. They are people off, and they are people that are controlling. They are seeking pleasure. And they are very selfish. And their world has to be their way. And when Jesus comes into our world, our life, and we start to think with him, and the Holy Spirit teaches us, lose your life and you gain it. And this model changes. It goes from, like, judgment can come in through the door, equity can enter, and a sense of what is right comes into the picture. Why does a woman sleep with many men? Because it's maybe her pleasure. Oh, I didn't know that I could live with not doing what I want to do. Yeah, you didn't know that because it's a pagan culture where you can do whatever you want to, basically. But there's a better way. Don't do what you want to do. Don't do what you want to do. Do trust that Christ is a better way than my pleasure. The trust in him. And then the freedom comes, the Holy Spirit ministers to us, and we have found a new way. Let me close by just reading a piece here. This previous one was from Chuck Colson. And this one is a little booklet by David Polson and Ed Welch. And he said, "The drift of sin is always away from the living Christ. That is a heart problem that needs daily attention. Jesus, who died for sinners, is gracious, and grace is effective." You know, the man in that home, he doesn't know grace. He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know the spirit of grace. But aim for a fundamental restructuring of heart and lifestyle. Cosmetic adjustments that make a person's behavior more socially acceptable is not enough. You must expose the heart issues that motivate violence, cravings for power, love, control, comfort, money, respect, and pleasure. I want respect. A man says, "You have to respect me. You have to respect me. I'm in this house, and I'm the head of this house, and you have to respect me. You don't respect me." Okay. Okay, fine. But is that, like, delegated to the people around you? Like, out of a law? Or is respect gained? Is the honor that we look for from people, or is the honor that we look for comes from God? The honor comes from God is enough respect that we are looking for, that God would be our glory and the lifter of our head. This is not hard, but it is hard. It is hard. But it is not hard. It is easy. But without Jesus Christ, and I need this to be, it says, the batterer, wife, this is domestic violence, the batterer's violence is not about his wife, it's about himself. And the idolatries he brought into the marriage. Like, I married you so that you make me happy. You're not making me happy. I'm angry. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, hold it. Let's say time out. Kindergarten time. Kindergarten, learning a lesson. Hold it. But you can't. Your marriage is not about you and about me. It's bigger. The room is bigger. If the marriage is awesome, and actually many awesome, it is easy. I mean, it is easy. You know, it is. But what I need is to realize that the Lord needs to work in me. Violent people play God and so act like the devil rather than serve God. They must repent of these vertical sins. That's a new phrase that I want to think a lot about. Vertical sins, like the marriage, the horizontal, and the vertical. We say vertical with God, but this says vertical with sins. Yeah, this is how I live with my idols. But if God could change my idols, and I could learn grace and truth can open this easily. But where is the grace? Well, it's in Jesus Christ. Lastly, aim to solve the minor versions of the major sins. A judgmental attitude, grumbling, irritability, bickering, arguing usually precede violence and express identical themes of the heart. People learn to repent of grumbling and thus learn both gratitude and contentment in Christ will rarely need to repent of assault and battery. They didn't fight because long before it got to that point, they were here realizing I'm behaving in the wrong way and I need Jesus to fill me. I need Jesus to speak to me, correct me, and give me what I really need. A changed heart. Love in my life. Well, this was a kind of sober message this morning. And that's it. Sobering. And I hope it's useful. Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, we live in a world without Christ, and it's tough. It's tough. But we have found you. We are just so thankful. We are paying attention to you. We are paying attention. We are learning. We are growing in you. We are changing from glory to glory. We have found a new way. My attendance in the church and my drawing near my friends to be with other godly people, and my friends will help me. When I have a problem like we're talking about today, I can draw near to other people and be accountable, humbly accountable to my sisters and brothers and share my burdens. Not all the dirty laundry, no, I don't mean that, but something with a friend from the heart, because I want this house I live in to be filled with your grace and truth. In Jesus' name, and then if you are here and you are not a believer in Christ, this is the invitation. Please believe in him. Trust in him. In your heart. Believe in him. Trust in him in all your heart. Receive him today. In your life. And then anyone who suffers from these problems, would you receive the grace of God for your life today, and he'll set you right. He will help you and heal you and heal your family and bless you in your life, in your name. Amen.